Welcome to another episode of Adam and Sean buy shit for 10 cents at a local comic shop. This time with more air conditioner. Last time you heard our contributors, it was in
February,
so it was cold. So we're going about, so we're doing the seasonal, I guess. This is a seasonal thing. We got our January 10 cent comic showdown and our July 10 cent comic showdown.
It was hot.
Today?
Very.
It's kind of the opposite of yesterday, or of last time, but last time yeah. We were indoors, so.
The other time we braved the cold and the ice. This time we braved the hot and the tired.
The hot. Brave the hot. So, this is Adam and Sean. We, again, went to a sale. Everything was 10 cents. This is a little different this time. This time it was at Richard's Comics and Collectibles. It was in his basement. And the basement of the store there, he's just got tons of old boxes of comics, 80% of which are old Valiant comics, and not like early Valiant, but like late Valiant comics.
Exo, Manowar.
Yeah. And
the like.
It's like, okay, so like last time we did this dig, the 10 cent dig, it was at Borderlands. And at Borderlands, it was basically like pretty current stock that he had pulled out and just to sell off. With Richards,
and he buys it from people too. Like he buys it specifically for this sale.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He buys people's overstock.
Mm-hmm. So it's more current stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Richards, however, again, this is all stuff, as far as I know, that he inherited from the previous owner at New Dimensions.
And it's just like collections that he doesn't want to bother going through, and knows that they're kind of like 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Crap, and just sticks it in the basement.
But you know what? When you're not, against getting down and dirty, digging through 80s and 90s crap can be a lot of fun. Sean and I, we've been down there. We go down there occasionally. Richard always opens his basement area, I think like the first Saturday and the last Saturday of every month, which pretty much ends up being back-to-back Saturdays. It's something like that. I don't know.
Usually, ask Richard and find out.
Yeah. Usually, the books are like four for a dollar, five for a dollar, maybe, somewhere around there. This time, however, like I said, it was 10 for a dollar. He didn't do 10 cent comics, he did 10 for a dollar. So
In increments of 10.
So if you know you bought, 17, then it was $2. But whatever, who's counting?
Yeah.
Who cares? Like you can't find 30 more cents in comics to buy.
Because you can. It's not that hard.
So, Sean, you spent, you bought $2 today?
No, $3.
You bought $3 and I bought $5?
Yes.
It's kind of how, that's pretty much our normal ratio.
I'm a little more selective.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that.
I buy things for the sheer ridiculousness of it.
I think I'm a little more random.
Well, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I got some lame collections I've been growing. Mainly from books I've been buying from Richard's basement, so I don't know why I don't just, whatever. But we're going to go ahead and do the rundown like we did last time. That was fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully this time it'll be a little faster.
Yeah, we didn't buy as much.
No, we didn't. So, go. Wait, you want to start?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to start.
Want to talk about your little flyer that you found there?
I found, I was very excited to find this, a Heroes Aren't Hard to Find world premiere autograph party for Ralphie Roach, number one. Oh, this is a certificate of authenticity that goes with the Ralphie the Roach, number one, certifying that it was signed, because Shelton's signature is right here, as the Westgate Mall in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So, somewhere out there, there's an uncertified signed copy of Ralphie Roach, number one. So if you bought that, I have the certificate of authenticity that goes with yours. But I love finding old heroes, like paraphernalia. Like I find program books and flyers and, comics with the sticker on it. It makes me chuckle.
You were talking about the signedness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if anybody has, we can slide that in. We'll work something out.
Yeah. If somebody has a Ralphie the Roach that's been signed that they want
authenticated,
then I'll be glad to hook them up.
So I found a couple books down there signed as well. One of them is Cavewoman number 6. Now, this, for to me, I've been going around trying to find Bud's old Cavewoman comics anyway. So to be able to get one, I don't care what condition. I just want Bud's old comics. I want to read through them. A lot of these get harder to find because the big boobies. You think?
Yeah, that's why you want it.
No,
I think that's why you want to collect Bud Root Cavewoman because she's got big boobies.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I bought this. It's signed by Bud Root in '98. Cavewoman number 6, and on the cover here it says, "Warning: Page 29 could cost you your life."
Uh oh. What is it? What's going on page 29?
So you want me to go to page 29 and risk my own life?
Yeah.
For your amusement?
Are there nipples?
It's a killer contest. It's a Cavewoman killer contest. I wonder if I can still enter. Deadlines. Scripts. I have to read this. I don't have time right now. But apparently the deadline was May 1997. I missed out on that one.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, well. But yeah, I got that. And then also, just randomly, when I was going through a Hepcats... number 1 special edition. It is also signed by Martin Wagner, and it is 532 of 2,000 copies printed.
Ah.
And this goes along with one of the themes of the books, but I'll get into the theme later. Yeah, Hepcats special edition. It's got some people in clothes, or tech people. It's got animals in clothes and stuff.
Anthropomorphic.
Yeah, so...
Anthropomorphized.
Yeah, I got quite a few anthropomorphic comics.
That was your theme, is furries.
Yeah.
Your theme is furries.
Yeah. Sean found a couple, so I wasn't seeking them all out.
Oh, yeah, but, like, every time I saw, like, an animal as a person, I was like, here, Adam, you like this stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a butt. I wonder if it's a human butt. Nope, it's a horsewoman butt. Oh, no.
It's hot.
So we'll at the end, we'll count up all the anthropomorphic furry books that I collected.
Put it that in its own pile. Okay, what did I... My theme was Jill Thompson. I found a lot of stuff by Jill Thompson. Like Black Orchid and Seekers and Finals.
I didn't know Black Orchid was Jill Thompson.
The later ones, not the first stuff, but there were several other things. What is wrong with that dude? Get away from him. God, what is... Okay, but yeah. And which I actually haven't ever read, so I'm kind of curious. This isn't her, like, watercolor work. It's her, like, early comic work. So it's interesting. That, found some Vertigo book. Found 3 of the 4 issue miniseries Johnny Double, Brian Azzarello, and Eduardo Risso.
Oh, well, the next thing I want to tackle is I've been going through, you know, like I have all these crazy collections of 90s comics for some reason. I think a lot of it has to do with those were the comics I read in my childhood. So I have all these comics from when I was in middle school, and I still have them, but I'm trying to fill all of the comic gaps. And it's been pretty easy to do because those comics were terrible and nobody wants them anymore.
Oh, it's not that they were necessarily terrible, it's that they were overprinted and everyone has them.
Okay, that's cool. We'll buy that.
That's how we spin it.
We'll buy that. So, anyway, to fill in some of those childhood memory gaps, because when you're a kid in middle school, I don't know about you guys, but I always bought comics whenever I could. I rarely ever could even follow the fact that story arcs would jump between, like, Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, all those, like especially that Maximum Carnage, which I have finally finished collecting.
You're welcome.
But one of the other collections I've recently been putting together is the Marvel Comics Presents Wolverine. So I bought 4 copies here at Richard's for 10 cents a piece, and then I went back to my, I don't even remember which ones I own and which ones I don't. I'm pretty much haven't read any of these. I'm just buying them to fill the gaps.
Because you're going to go back and read them one day, though, right?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. So, I went back and I checked, and of these 4, I only already had 1.
That's not a bad...
So, there's 10 cents down, and that's going to be... That's probably going to show up a few more times, and it obviously has shown up before. Just kind of to run down some of these... Okay, the other thing is Aliens comics, all of the Dark Horse Aliens comics from the 90s and whatnot. I have a stack here. I haven't compared them yet. I'll run back there and compare them before the end of the show. And then finally, well, actually, that's it. That's all the childhood collection that I've been doing. I have a couple other collections that I've started since, but we'll let Sean take her turn.
Okay. I picked up a whole bunch of, like, humor books. I am continuing my quest to complete my run of ALF. Found ALF number 2. I didn't have that one, I don't think. I found a weird bug world. I don't know what it is, but it's about bugs. They look kind of cool. Married with Children, issue number 5. I love Married with Children. It was one of my favorite TV shows. I watched that the Christmas, when they would do the Christmas marathons. I would watch that every year because it made me feel better about my life. Itchy and Scratchy, and some What the, and The Socketeer. Yes, it is a spoof of The Rocketeer, complete with, you know, like the Betty Page kind of art and whatnot. It's not, it's definitely not, well, I mean, duh, it's not as good as Dave Stevens. But it is, it looks funny. And I got an issue of Duckman and Ren and Stimpy, and who couldn't resist, Fish Police. Volume 1, number 0. Inspector Gill of the Fish Police.
Oh, Inspector Gill.
Dude, it's like really weird. Are they underwater? I don't know. These guys are walking around, but are they swimming? I don't know. But yeah, those are my humor comics that I got.
I have another collection that I've recently began putting together. A couple other ones. I'll run through them real quick. One is Howard Chaykin's Power and Glory. I basically, you know, a few years back, I did a review on a Punisher issue that Howard Chaykin did the art on, and I kind of ripped the art on it. At the time, I actually, you know, anybody that's listened to the show for a while or even a short period of time probably realizes that or knows how little I actually know about comics.
It's pretty shocking.
Well, it's shocking sometimes. How little I know about comics.
Sometimes, yeah.
It is. Especially for someone who interviews so many people. I do got to point out that Joel has put together quite a few of those major interviews that we've been doing lately. But I read for a while in the 90s, and then I stopped. And when I say a while, I mean like maybe a year in the 90s that I read. And then I started back up pretty much when this podcast started, which was like 3 or 4 years ago. And it's not like as soon as I started a comic podcast, I decided I was going to go out and research and know everything there is to know about comics. So basically, I'm still learning a lot. And there's a shitload of comics I've never read. Things that I'm probably supposed to have read, you know? I've never read a Sandman comic. You know, but anyway, so...
We won't get into that right now.
We won't get it. I mean, anyway, I'm still learning a lot about comics. Anyway, a few years ago, I kind of ripped Howard Chaykin. I wasn't familiar with who he was and his work. I just thought that, you know, I still don't, and, you know, maybe he is a good artist, maybe he's a great artist. I don't like the way he draws faces, his backgrounds are beautiful. Anyway, we won't get into that. When I made the statement, I got ripped by our boy Jay Potts, who flipped out on me for not knowing Howard Chaykin, and since then, I have been going slightly out of my way to familiarize myself with Howard Chaykin's earlier work. And that's how I got on Power and Glory. And Power and Glory is not his earlier work, you know? I mean, Power, what is this from? What year?
I would guess 95.
94. So Power and Glory is 94. And anyway, so at 10 cents, I'd already had issue 1 of Power and Glory that I probably got at Richards. Today, I picked up another issue 1. And same cover, because apparently there was a 1A and a 1B. I picked up another issue 1A.
Is that a duplicate?
It is a duplicate.
But I also picked up 1B. I got both covers.
Ooh.
So I have 1A and 1B. 1A was duplicate. And I grabbed 2, 3, and 4. And then I also got the Power and Glory Holiday Special.
Nice.
Number 1.
Nice.
So that's... A little bit of the Howard Chaykin, and then on top of all that, I picked up an American Flag number 8, but it's 1988 number 8, which is a different series than the, I guess it's a different a volume, let me see, because I have another number 8 from earlier, but this one is,
Yeah, this is volume 2, number 8.
Yeah. So that's volume 2. So I have a number 8 from volume 2, but I already had number 8 from volume 1, and I was afraid that I had a duplicate there, but it was not. However, this number 8 from volume 2 is the only issue from volume 2 that I have. I don't know why I'm buying these, other than the fact that I've started buying them, and I already had number 1 of volume 1, because I have the complete collection of American Flag, the hardcover collection, signed with a check mark by Howard Chaykin. Not that it matters. I could care less. I didn't buy it because it's signed. I bought it because I wanted the entire collection of American Flag. I read number 1. Number 1's a pretty awesome issue. I'm just going to throw that out there. He writes it, too.
All right. So, I love old, like, science fiction-y kind of horror comics from, like, the 60s and 70s. I found a couple of things, but, man, are they beat up. And even at 10 cents, I'm kind of like, I don't know, eh. But, I mean, the art is a lot of fun, and the stories are all kooky. So I found a couple, like, you know, House of Mystery and Weird Mystery Tales and Ghosts and
just and stuff. Just to kind of jump in on this, because I kind of have something that shares with that. Uh-huh. I'm not trying to steal your thunder.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hadn't got to my other, like...
Your older stuff?
Yeah, I'm going through my older comics.
Well, later. So am I, and I only bought 2.
Okay.
I was just kind of, like, mine are all beat to hell, too, and they were 10 cents. But, you know, like you mentioned earlier, just being able to go through and maybe read some of the ads,
it makes totally
it
kind
of worth the 10 cents right then and there.
Oh, yeah.
But I got World of Wheels, number 23, and I got a Archie 169, which may have Ted Tarver's name on it if he wants it.
Okay, so the back of this Weird Mystery Tales, which I also love, like, the old House of Mystery stuff because it's got, like, is it Kane or is it Abel?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is Kane. It's got Kane. So, it's, again, the whole Sandman thing. Mm-hmm, I like all the Sandman characters. But, yeah, on the back, now you can build a car in a bottle in just minutes with pop art from Monogram. Yeah, snap tight model kits. You can put a car in a bottle.
Well, I'll have you know, in my Archie comic, for $1, I can be a He-Man, be a Mighty Man. I can be a man among boys.
Oh my.
And have giant arms and a tiny head.
Oh. You know what else is fun in old comics? The letters pages. I heard tales of, like, in the Amazing Spider-Man omnibuses, if you read the letters pages, which they do actually reprint, like, there's some famous names. So I always kind of, like, look for the signatures to see what's up.
And also for $1, I can get a life-size pinup of David McCollum.
I have Captain Marvel, or Shazam, as I like to call him, advertising Twinkies. But yeah, along with my older comics, I got a couple, you know, Devil Kids starring Hot Stuff, and a Millie the Model, which I love this art. It's very Archie-y art. Like, it's almost like, I don't know if Dan DiCarlo did this. Like, I don't know if it says by Stan Lee and Stan G. So I don't know. And I got a Walt Disney Showcase, Peter Pan. The old gold key stuff. This is not a four-color one, but it's still cool.
With my Archie, I can learn to play guitar in 7 days or I get my money back. You know how much money that is? $2.98. Draw any person in 1 minute. No talent, no lessons. You can draw your family, friends, anything from real life. Just like an artist. Even if you can't draw a straight line, it's a light box.
Dude, okay. Enjoy an exciting, romantic, impressive look anytime. Fake facial hair. Van Dyke, $3. Mustache, $2. Sideburns, $3. Dude, are you serious? Are you? And it's got the one guy wearing all three of them.
You want to go?
Dude, this is awesome.
We can go. You want to go? We can go. We can have a battle. You ready?
Uh-huh.
What's new, pussycats? A go-go tail? 6 hair pieces in one. Ponytail, braid, wiglet, bun, beehive. Only $1. $1 for 6 different hair pieces. The in-hair piece that gives you a new, beautiful hairstyle each day.
Wow.
Sold on money back guarantee.
Are you tired of being too, quote-unquote, skinny? Do you want a protein shake that will turn you from wuss to something? I don't know. Okay.
Oh yeah? This candy bar can help you gain lots of weight. Stop being skinny. Let this different candy bar, that's what they came up with, different. Let this different candy bar help you put an end to that skin and bones kid stuff. Join the in crowd with this delicious new way to help you gain weight. You imagine selling candy bars that help you gain weight these days?
Oh, man. I know. Like, really? It's like on Mean Girls.
Stop being skinny, says Chuck Snipes, Mr. Universe winner and famous strongman. Whenever I want to gain weight fast, I munch on this weight gain candy bar. For dessert, in between meals, or anytime. Because it's full of calories and delicious weight-gaining foods. Why not you? God, I could read this for forever.
Dude, okay. So, in the back of the House of Mystery Presents Vampire, the letters page, it's written by Kane. So, he writes back, like, "Dear Kane, you are invited to come to my second annual Witches and Warlock party." Just one warlock. Multiple witches, just one warlock. We will be having your favorite delicatessen food, such as bat wing dip, gizzard casseroles, and some delicious baked potato bugs. I bet your mouth is watering, so stop sitting there watching the dust grow and come over for some fun and excitement. And don't forget to bring Gregory. He's a gargoyle. I'm sure he'd like to come. Your good friend, Boris of the Haunted Mansion. And then he replies with lots of R's. I wouldn't miss your party for the world, Boris. And if we don't tell Kane... Oh, that's Gregory. I can taste those scrumptious blah, blah, blah. And then Gregory signs it. You know you leave a gargoyle unattended for a minute and he tries to take control. Blah, blah, blah. It's really funny.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Oh, man. We got to do a show just on ads. Old old Charlton comic ads. Oh, blah, 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 blah. I've also added to my Grendel collection of Grendel comics. I actually have mainly it's a collection of Grendel trades. But whenever I see Grendel comics, I'll go ahead and buy those too. I got Grendel Tales, 4 Devils, 1 Hell, 4 and 6 of 6, and Grendel Tales, 3 of 5, The Devil in Our Midst.
Ooh.
And that pretty much finishes off. Well, and then also, Collector's Edition, sealed, still in the bag, Icon. This set includes Icon number 1. 4 panels of giant 16-panel mural, exclusive cover poster, Skybox trading card. I have a collection now of Milestone still in the wrapper comics that I've been putting together. This one's Icon to add to my collection.
I got Batman Chronicles number 10. I have number 11 because it's got a Paul Pope story in it. But this one's got Bob Gale. Yes, that Bob Gale, Back to the Future, who wrote that terrible, amazing Spider-Man story arc, The Freak. I'm sorry, Bob. I'm sorry. With illustrations by Bill Sienkiewicz. It's also got a Chris Duffy story, and I didn't know, Gary Frank. I love Gary Frank. I want him at Heroes Con. And I got Domino, number 1, Brian Stelfreeze, Interiors. What?
I've realized I'm missing like 10 comics that I must have had a stack I set aside. Like, I had a Free Jack comic. That's right.
Oh.
The Free Jack based on the major motion picture.
Did somebody Free steal Jack your comics?
Starring
Brad Parton, I'm looking at you.
Starring Emilia Estevez and Mick Jagger. Crap! What happened to my Free Jack? Oh, and also, written by Chuck Dixon. But what I did get is, speaking of Milestone earlier, also I got The Crew, number 4, 5, and 6. The Crew is written by Christopher Priest. To learn a little bit more about Christopher Priest, we have a 2 or 3 part interview, I guess a 2 part interview with Christopher Priest on the Dollar Bin site, which a lot of people have given us positive feedback on, so go ahead and hit up the Christopher Priest interview. Dollar Bin plug!
I found some really interesting, like, old interview comics and kind of bio things. This is Arena Magazine, number one, back from 94. So it's got stuff with Keith Giffen and John Byrne and Joe Quesada and Dave Dorman and Mark Silvestri. It just seemed kind of cool. And Comics Interview, number two. There's just, like, some weird random stuff. Mark Evanier. It's got some stuff in here. Just, like, old, hilarious pictures of people. And it had a foil cover. So I was like, what is this? Deathmate? And I flip open on the, like, interior cover a picture of Rob Liefeld with Jim Lee. I was like, I think
like, a photograph.
Yeah. And I was like, what is this? And it's just creator bios. And I was like, this is just so weird and funny that I kind of think I need it. If you've ever wanted to know all about Joe Quesada, born in New York City, Joe has penciled a number of covers for Valiant and is currently penciling Exo Manowar number zero, as well as penciling half of the Deathmate epilogue. So this is like a Valiant Image crossover bio.
Bio book.
Yeah, Bernard Chang, born in 1972, Montreal, Canada. Bernard is the...
Who knew?
I know. I didn't know that. Bernard is the penciler on the upcoming Valiant series, The Second Life of Dr. Mirage, as well as Capital City's Deathmate preview in Advance Comics. Bernard is also a contributing artist on Deathmate Yellow. Don't think I've even heard of any of those comics. And I had somebody, like, give me a list of, okay, this is every single Valiant comic ever. And I went through the tower from A to Z and dug up all of them and brought them all out for him. Like, it was ridiculous. He bought enough to make it worth it. Yeah. But it was a ridiculous day. Like, boxes and boxes and stacks. It was crazy. Okay.
Okay, going on to my new collections I started today. Mainly because I bought two issues of something that, well, actually, finishing up, I did get two more issues of Boris the Bear.
Ooh.
So, I now also have Boris the Bear number 7, and I don't even know what this is. It's the Boris the Bear giant super double-size giant must-have Mylar bag 8th issue extra hype special.
Wow.
And it's kind of funny because on the cover here, well, first he's got a warning, scene depicted on this cover appears nowhere in the issue. On the cover, it's got Boris the Bear, like, burying other characters.
Burying.
And, like, the gravestones, like, one says junk title. But then the other one says teenage radio black belt mutant ninja critters. And it's got Ninja Turtles in there, and it's got the black belt hamsters. It's so
radioactive adolescent radio.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, it's all the other like radioactive animals that's pretty funny that it's kind of knocking that it's Boris the Bear and it's like knocking these other characters. But on top of that, I also got the adolescent radioactive black belt hamsters 3D issue number 4. With the 3D glasses, which I'm super looking forward to read. And it's like 3D where it's like all red and I guess blue. Is everything's printed up in red and blue.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I kind of can't believe that we didn't find any, like, God, what was that Miami Vice spoof with mice? Was it Miami Mice?
I don't know.
I'm kind of surprised we didn't find any of those.
The three new series that I may have started, we'll see. Okay, Ball and Chain from Homage Comics. I got 1 and 2 of 4, so how hard is it gonna be to find those other two issues? Hopefully not that hard. But it actually don't look terrible. I mean, it doesn't look, you know, it doesn't look terrible. It's a quality book. The art's not bad in it. The coloring's not bad.
I've not heard of any of these people.
Neither have I, but that's why I'm surprised. It's lettered
it's
by
not
comic.
That bad. It's
lettered
pretty good.
By Comic Craft, but, you know, it's...
What is it?
Yeah. It's like, But yeah, it's that doesn't look bad, does it?
Oh.
No, so I'm blown away that I don't know who any of these people are. If you're listening, Scott Lobdell, Ale Garza, or Richard Bennett, you know, let us know who you are. Maybe you got some other stuff out there that we'd be interested in.
Garza sounds familiar, though. It sounds like he's one of those, like, Udon or
Ale Garza,
or, Aspen people.
Oh.
I don't know about that, though. I could be wrong.
And also, Sean, I didn't know this existed.
Yeah.
Again, that's the whole I don't know a lot about comics.
It's okay.
You say that now.
It's okay.
But Cadillacs and Dinosaurs? Who knew?
It's Roy Thomas,
maybe. I know it's Roy Thomas, but it's Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. That is an awesome concept. How could that be bad? I mean, okay, let me reword that. It's probably going to be pretty bad. But... let me reword that by saying the exact opposite. If this were a movie, this would be one of the greatest movies ever made.
Are you saying that we need
as far to... as entertainment value?
Okay, so when we win the lottery,
yeah,
I'm gonna fund,
yeah,
Purple Wheat.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna make Eddie Murphy make Purple Wheat.
Right, right.
Which is the Purple Rain spoof,
right,
with buckwheat.
That he's already written.
He's cool. Got all the songs. He's got everything. Yep. He just hasn't made it. I want to make him make that.
Yep. And then.
And then you.
Yep.
Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
How could this be a bad movie?
Dude,
Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. Not a bad movie. And also,
I bet Roy Thomas would go for
Roy Thomas and Dick Giordano. So, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. I got 2 of 3, and then I got an issue 4. So.
You're just testing the waters.
Yeah.
Putting your toes.
And finally, before I hand it back to Sean, the other new series that I am now collecting is I have number 2 of 6 and 3 of 6 of Bad Girls with covers by Darwin Cook, I believe.
Yeah.
And art by Jay Bone.
This was collected last year, year before?
Really?
Or recollected? Or
Slut.
Collected? Yeah. There are panties.
Sweet. Panties. Actually, the art is Christine Norrie and Jay Bone. It looks good. It looks fun. It's got that style that I like, that really just kind of clean, kind of, I hate to say cartoony style, but that's probably the best way to describe it. It's Jay Bone.
Yeah.
It's kind of the Jay Bone, Darwin Cook, clean lines, and I like it.
Clean,
like,
thick lines.
Yeah. I like that style.
Yeah. Okay, I found a whole bunch of, like, random indie-ish stuff. Like, Asylum number 2. It's got Neil Gaiman and Mark Buckingham, P. Craig Russell, John Bolton. Found a Madman random issue. Elementals, which I've kind of been curious about. I've heard things. This isn't one of the...
Apparently you're not supposed to ask him about it.
Yeah, but I'm just kind of curious. I got an issue number 10. I want to just kind of, like...
Word on the street, do not ask Bill Willingham about Elementals.
This isn't one of the sex specials, so I know I'm going to be disappointed. Because there's not going to be dolphins doing it. Oh, but there's a green chick. Green chicks freak me out.
Doing it.
Green chicks do freak me out, though. Just so you know, a little inside information on me.
I knew that already.
I know. I got James Sturm, Serial Killings. This just looks...
Captain Kirk, you are not.
Funny. And an issue of Cerebus. And this comic is called Trencher. I got number 1 and number 2 is an Image comic. Created, written, and drawn by Keith Giffen. And it, like, his art freaking looks like Brandon McCarthy. It's pretty trippy. And issue of Jinx. Because why the hell not?
Issue number 2.
Because why the heck not? Sorry, let me clean up my language. Why not, man? You know, it's probably Michael Bendis. He got me into comics-ish.
Ish.
I just kind of given up. On Marvel right now.
I'm on a Bendis break.
Katie Lang. That's Cruel Nut Zippers. I love his
reading?
No Life section that he puts.
Yeah.
Like, a list of stuff he likes. Katie Lang. Drag. This album made me want to smoke, drink, and have sex with Steve Miller. Squirrel Nut Zippers. Can you dig those crazy cats with that out-of-sight act? You'll be happy to know that this album holds up well. No novelty act here. He talks about Oz and Chemical Brothers and Norm Macdonald, and like it's just really a lot of fun.
Sean, well, I have a my last random stack of one-off issues. Sean threw a Johnny Quest number one on my pile here from Comico.
You know, I don't know how to pronounce that. I don't know if it's Comico or Comico.
Eh, it doesn't matter.
I think probably it sounds Comico. Funnier.
Comico.
Comico.
I think it's Comico.
I don't think it is either. And that's kind of why I like to call it that.
From Viz Premier Comics, Hirobi. And we got this because it was adapted
by Lynn Wein, who is doing the DCU Legacies book right now.
And it doesn't... It's basically a manga, I guess.
Yeah, back in the day, they used to reprint manga like
full size
comics.
Wow, brilliant! I got a X-Men Archives, and it is the featuring Captain Britain, and this is all just reprints of old stories. And this one, because it's Captain Britain, it's got four stories in it, and they're all by Alan Moore and Alan Davis. So, being that I've never read Captain Britain, I figured something like this would be a good way to go ahead and give the Alan Moore Captain Britain a chance, I guess. Because I also picked up The Elvis Mandible by Douglas Michael. I don't really know what this is. It's got that indie style art to it. So, I went ahead and decided to pick it up. Nice quality on that, too. And then the back cover... Well, I have no clue what that is. It's a dog scratching himself. Okay. So I got that. I picked up a Double Image number 5. I've never even heard of Double Image. I guess it was a thing Image did with like the flip book, like the Marvel Comics Presents. Oh yeah, by the way, those Marvel Comics Presents. I do the Marvel Comics Presents Wolverine. On the other side, it's Marvel Comics Presents Ghost Rider. But I actually
am collect the Wolverine side.
Wolverine side. So this is a Double Image, which is essentially the same thing. And I mainly picked this up, I guess, because Code Flesh had Temple Smith on the cover, and he does the colors. Temple Smith does the colors.
He does the colors?
Yeah, which I find very odd. Very odd.
That is really odd.
So, it's a number 5. I don't know. I might read that. I might get rid of it. Who knows what will happen to that thing. Now, we have, from Eternity Comics, my Eternity collection is getting huge.
I don't think anyone has ever said that sentence out, like... Ever. Yeah. I don't think that anyone's ever needed
my
or thought or...
Like, my ease, like, Eternity, Eclipse, and, like, Epic are getting out of control.
Again, no one's ever said that. Because no one's ever needed
all
to
these,
say that.
All these e-publishers. So adding to my Eternity, I have... Maybe I'll do an Eternity show one of these days. But added to my Eternity is Dinosaurs for Hire. By Tom Mason.
Oh, you're so fun. You know, we should do a show on organization and classification of comics. Like, I sort mine alphanumerically.
I sort mine by publisher, and then alphanumerically.
Yeah, it's weird.
Whatever. Okay. It's actually not that bad looking. The art's, it's not bad. It's got a lot of shading and stuff. It's interesting. It's a different kind of style than I'm used to seeing in just comics of this type, I guess. It's got a bunch of dinosaurs wearing clothes and... Miami Vice stuff. It's pretty cool. This might actually be good. It's number one, so it's not like I'll be missing anything, right?
Yeah.
And then Eclipse International, Cyber 7. And my Cyber 7 here has a bunny rabbit in a tuxedo. And again, the art is not terrible in this. These are all black and white comics. None of them are colored comics. But yeah, it's not terrible. And it's Cyber 7. This is number 2, so I may be missing a little something with my Cyber 7 here. But I do look forward to eventually reading some of these comics. And there's my little bunny rabbit and a tuxedo guy. Now, here's another one that Sean found, and that is Xanadu, okay. Across Diamond Seas. And this is... this has a unicorn... Okay, so it's a unicorn's head on, like, a body. Like, think, like, you know, like, I guess kind of I don't know how many, like the Rashi Rabbit art style, where it's a rabbit, you know, the anamorphic, and, you know, they stand up, and they got boobs and stuff, like the female characters, rabbits have boobs, you know, like that. So basically, I'm looking at a unicorn in a nightgown looking thing with boobs. And there's a fox with boobs, and they're in bathing suits, and it's freaking weird, man. Is that guy got a boner?
Are you serious?
That's his shirt.
Dude, I saw that, and it was like a freaky looking, like, it's like a chick.
Yeah.
Unicorn in a robe, and I was like, I have to at least show this to my husband. Like, I show you all the swimsuit editions, all the weird kind of things.
It's so bizarre, man.
Like, there are some things that I'm like, no. But that looked funny and weird and kooky enough that if it was kind of raunchy, it would at least be funny.
Okay, so Xanadu, apparently this issue I have, it doesn't appear to be... It's published by MU Press, but there is a color special. There's a Xanadu color special, which is printed, published by Eclipse. So I may just go ahead and file this under Eclipse because I'll have nowhere else to put it.
Your photo sideways.
That's what can you do? So Sean's tweeting this as we go.
Well, no, I'm posting a picture on Facebook. I have a new phone, everybody. Phones are awesome. I am on the internet right now. This is crazy. So I decided to post a picture of you while you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't let me do like a caption and it's sideways.
If you're going to post a picture, you should post a picture of me holding on to Kids of the King. I have no idea what it's about. It's got three black kids on it with crucifix, shiny crucifix.
It's like the
sweaters or something.
Really?
By Reggie Byers. And it is, let's see. I'm going to go ahead and let's see how far we make it through this intro just to get an idea of what this is about. What's up? Welcome to the first issue of Kids of the King. This is a project from my heart that lay dormant for 2 years or more. Somehow, some way, I always wanted to speak on spiritual matters and express my faith and convictions, but didn't quite know how. I finally realized that by using the talent God blessed me with would... That's a terribly written sentence. By using the talent God blessed me with would be the greatest way to do this. In these pages, and issues to come, are going to be many stories told in traditional comic book manner, yet very unique way of witnessing about the love I have for the Lord.
Okay.
Many of you know me from illustrating Robotech comics.
Ooh,
Robotech. Others know me from Shuriken.
Shuriken!
And most know me from Jam Quacky.
No.
But what you are going to encounter in Kids of the King is all that I am and believe. There are so many subjects that are going to be addressed in this series that I'll never run out of writing material. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what is the beginning of a comic book ministry. Whoever you may be, I ask that you read with an open mind, heart, and spirit. Most of all, please write me with your comments, praises, complaints, questions, or whatever else you may want to say to me. I will begin a letters column in issue 2 or 3. May the Lord richly bless you, Reggie Byers. Reggie Byers, if you're listening, I want the rest of your books. I haven't even read this one yet, and I already want the rest. Sean, you're out of books. I'm just going to keep rolling, I guess.
Yeah, I tweeted a picture and I was playing with my phone.
Hopefully people won't get tired of me. I'll run through this a little faster.
I can add more comments if you want.
You
want
to add more comments? Yeah.
I don't know.
Jump right in. I also picked up Southern Blood. Okay. This book, I was really curious as to what it's about because it's got like this, you know, whole...
Captain actually, Confederacy kind of
Yeah,
feel.
Yeah. It's got this whole like... slavery and like slaves being whipped on it and this guy molesting this woman and
honky
yeah, and you know, Southern Blood. So I wanted to know what this was, and I read the intro to this as well, and it's like he basically goes on to say that, you know, this is a really violent book that depicts slavery
I don't know from what point of view, but he did say that it does not, he doesn't endorse slavery. So, I don't know. I haven't read it yet. I'll have to come back later and give you guys an actual what this is about. Oh, this comic series, I found it. I found the at the back here. This comic series was designed to vividly portray what it was like for the Confederate soldiers who fought in the American Civil War between the years 1861 and 1865. Facing a mass of federal troops and almost always outnumbered, the Southerners fought with heart, mind, and soul for their homeland and preservation of their way of life. Although the characters and the plot are fictional, every major battle is historical fact. And then it goes on to say, Southern Bloodshed proved to be an entertaining and memorable tale about the Southerners and their experience during the bloodiest years of American history. So, again, haven't read it yet, but that's what it claims to be about.
It's kind of, okay, it kind of sounds like, I don't mean to be racist, but, and then whatever you say after that is going to come across as racist. Sorry, dude.
Not much to say about this one. It's a Dark Horse comic called Propeller Man.
What do you need to say other than Propeller Man?
It is number one of eight. It is Propeller Man by Matthias Schulleis. Wow, I don't know that last name. But yeah, it's from my boy Matthias, Propeller Man. Don't know. We'll find out. I bought it just because it's called Propeller Man. Punisher, number 31, Biker Bloodbath. It's got Punisher on a motorcycle shooting guns up in the air. And it's called Biker Bloodbath.
What more could you want? From a Punisher comic.
Exactly.
Guy, he looks like he's in, like, the Dreadnoughts or something.
Yeah. I went ahead and bought the world's greatest comics, Marvel Comics, Strong Guy Reborn.
Dude, this looks like Rob Liefeld.
Strong Guy Reborn, number one. Strong Guy, which is basically, you know, the dude from X-Factor. Guido from X-Factor. I guess, you know, originally his name was Strong Guy when he was first introduced. I think now he just goes by Guido.
Dude, what would you rather go by, Strong Guy or Guido?
But
how about, like, call me Steve or something? I don't know.
But it's his own comic. I never knew that Strong Guy had his own comic. And on the cover, it's him in a baby carriage wearing, like, little shorts and one of those beanie hats with the propeller on top. And it says, okay, people, now this is ridiculous. It's an intergalactic summer fun spectacular. And I look forward to every page and panel of this book. All right. I got my closing, too. I got my last two books to mention.
Can I look up on Wikipedia how many issues Strong Man went for?
Of course.
Not Strong Man, Strong Guy.
Strong Guy.
Oh, let me edit that.
But while you do that, let me go ahead and finish off mine. I ended up getting a Super Patriot number one, America's Fighting Force. Now, Super Patriot, the reason I bought it is simply because it's Robert Kirkman and Corey Walker. And Val Staples does colors. That's it. I mean, that's why I bought it. I don't know anything. I guess it's only issue one. I almost have no interest in reading the rest. Maybe if I read this, I will. It's from 2002. And again, it's Kirkman and Corey Walker. That's worth 10 cents right there. So that's what I did. And the last book, the book that I came across here, another book that I didn't know existed. And really, the thing about this is I saw at the top here, it says Robinson, Hughes, and Farmer. And I was like, well, man, is that Adam Hughes? And the cover is Adam Hughes. So it's got Adam Hughes interior pages. And God, how often do you see Adam Hughes interior pages?
Like, that, I think that was it.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. Like, even the coloring on this is really good. It's vibrant, I guess. It's a good book. As far as, like, visually, it's got Nightcrawler in it. I love me some Nightcrawler. R.I.P., homie. And,
aw. That's right.
Yeah, ain't that some shit. So that's why I bought it. I bought it because it's got Adam Hughes art. And James Robinson wrote it. So, oh, I didn't mention what it was. It's a Image Marvel crossover, Wildcats, X-Men, the modern age.
I hear it's good.
It looks good. It's the colors are pretty. It's very vibrant. I don't know if I can say that. It's got that Image vibrant look. And chicks with big boobs.
Well, That's Adam Hughes.
And that is the, that's, and it's got some awesome characters in it. Wow. Wildcats. Forgot all about half these guys. But it's got Nightcrawler in it, and that is the end of my stack. Thank you guys for listening again to Sean and I just kind of reading through the fun stuff that we bought today. Again, it went longer than we predicted, hopefully. I don't think it went as long as last time, though.
Oh, no. We just like talking to each other.
We do. We do. And, you know, anybody that made it to the end of this, I hope you enjoyed it. Obviously, if you're a listener, the steady listener of the Dollar Bin, you know, we have the heroes and we have all these panels and stuff that we're posting. We've been doing a lot of interviews and things lately. Hasn't been too many couch discussions. I think the last couch discussion we kind of did was the Heroes Con wrap up. And since then, I mean, we really haven't had too many couch discussions up until like weeks before Heroes Con.
Yeah.
And, you know, we enjoy doing those. And I guess a lot of it comes down to the interviews have been rolling right in. And I have a whole backlog of interviews. I still have Neil Adams, maybe, unless I've already posted it. I have, I've got Herb Trimpe. Oh God, we got Kurt Busiek also that needs to be posted, and at least a couple others I can't think of off the top of my head. So I hope you guys are enjoying those interviews. They're a lot of fun to do. Go ahead and comment on the show, and I know our listeners aren't big on commenting because we don't get a lot of comments, and I know we have listeners because constantly people are seeing me at shows in Heroes Con and going, oh, you're Adam from the Dollar Bin, and you know, it blows my mind because so few people comment that I don't really know anybody's listening. So it always kind of helps to comment to kind of keep us motivated, to keep us doing it. And what I would like is you know, just kind of let us know what you're enjoying. Like, what is it about the show? I mean, we had that Comics with Minority thing. I really enjoy doing that myself. Do you guys like the longer shows? Do you like the shorter shows? The interviews, have those been working out pretty good for you? You know, the couch is, it, just let us know what your preferences is. I mean, Comics with Minority. Sean and Adam, do you want to see more of us talking together?
Totally doable because we live together now.
Yeah. Do you want to see more of those couch discussions? Do you miss people? I know everybody misses Trey. I miss Trey. I hope to God we'll get Trey on another show. You know, do you want us to go back to talking about, and again, I miss a lot of this stuff myself. So if you guys give us some ideas of what you're looking for, it'll motivate us to do that specific thing, like the couch discussions, those comic shop ponderings where we just kind of made up some silly questions and stuff.
Dude, if you guys want to sit down one day and write like a whole bunch of questions for us to like go around and answer,
yeah,
we will do that.
Yeah.
Because that absolutely is a lot of fun.
Absolutely. We will definitely do that. If you guys have questions, maybe we can make a thread on the forum, comic shop. So that's the only problem. See, I love the forum, but I think, like, you know, we make a thread on the forum and we do a comic shop pondering, and it ends up being a thread, which is fun and all, but I really like kind of doing the show, and it gets a little bit more discussion than just kind of listing things on a forum. If you guys think we should have a call-in show, let us know about doing a call-in show. If you guys would rather, I mean, we used to do a lot of those kind of spotlights on creators and spotlights on characters. If you want us to focus on like kind of more structured things like that, let us know. If you just want the free form, let us know. You know, I like to thank you guys for listening, and I want you to know that we're gonna keep doing this, probably whether you guys comment or not. But again, always the commenting definitely helps motivate us to get things done. And I thank you guys for listening.
I was waiting for you to like cut.